hear the bell, but.
Oh, did you hear the bell?
Yeah, I thought I did. You did.
Good morning, Harbor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did not hear you. Good morning, Harbor.
Good morning.
Okay, that's better. Let's start by singing an old, old, old song, No Not One. And I'd like to have you stand because it's really a little jivey one. Worship this morning comes from Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name. Yeah.
I think they thought you memorized the last verse, so you knew what it was. But good song regardless. Just thinking today, coming to church, you know, how fortunate we are to be able to come and to worship, hear God's word, sing songs to him like we do. It's a real privilege to be able to be in God's presence as we are here this morning. Just want to say hi to my mom, just in case she's watching. And if you're not watching, Mom, then you don't know I said hi to you. But hope somebody will call her and tell her I did. So good to have everyone here this morning. The announcements are in your bulletin today, and I just want to highlight a few of them. Just let you know that Merle Johnston, you know, I mentioned it last Sunday that he passed away, and the family has chosen not to have a service here, so we don't have anything here at Harbor of Joy. They're going to get together at the Hut sometime in the future, and maybe they did that already, I'm not sure. But that's where they're going to meet, and the address is in the bulletin here. If you want to send a card to the family, you sure can do that, or your condolences, however that may be. There is the address there in the bulletin for you. This week, just want you to know that today, following the service, the property committee meets, whoever you are. Terry Dirks, you're the chairman, chairperson. So wherever Terry is, if you're on the property committee, you just go to her. Get that all taken care of, and she'll tell you where you're going to be meeting at as well. On Tuesday, the women's Bible study meets. They're having a Bible study called Golden Fruit, open to any lady that would like to be a part of that at 9:30 on Tuesday. Followed by the prayer partners that meet in the library at 11 o'clock. And then we have our painting class with Avis Davis. And I got her name right this time. Watercoloring from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And, you know, only thing I've always heard about was running with the bulls or running with the horses. But did you know with watercoloring, it's called color that just runs. Amazing. So if Dean Ramsey was here, I'd say, Dean, I'd like to see you run with the bulls. Oh, there he is. Can you waddle? Oh yeah, you don't have to run, you know, you let the water take the color and run with it on your I don't even know what you call that thing, the canvas, probably what it is. Yeah. So that's this coming Tuesday from 1 to 4. And then following that, the church council has a meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night as well, just to be mindful of that. Thursday, we will start our, well, we won't start, we've already started, but we'll have our next lesson, our next Bible study on heaven in the fireside room. And that's from noon until 1 o'clock on Thursday, a Bible study open to everyone that wants to be a part of that. And so those are all the announcements I'm going to make. There's others in there. The blessing box is definitely, the shelves looking in the storage room is pretty bare. Anybody here from the blessing box? John, is it, oh, you got a list of what's needed? You want to say something? I figured you would.
First of all, I think it's just a blessing that this church supports us as much as you do. Pastor and I have had many talks about my worrying about that box going on. As Ken knows, and Dave and myself and Dennis, sometimes we walk in there and it's pretty empty. We don't know what to put out there. But you people have stepped up. And we appreciate that, and that's the only reason that box is out there is because of you. So thank you. And just a thing that wasn't on the thing, those little Jiffy boxes, you know, the blue and white, that is always a big hit. Peanut butter gets so expensive anymore, it's hard to get. But anyway, thank you. That's all I can say.
Thank you, John, very much for what you do, because I see you quite often. And now, John is not a crier like I said he was last week. He does shed a tear here and there, but he is not a crybaby like I was in my younger days. So, but thanks, John, for what you do. And when you see John, oftentimes you see Jackie with him. And so it's not just John, it's also Jackie, too. So thanks, Jackie, for what you do, even if it's just for moral support with him as well. So let's have a word of prayer, shall we? And we will continue our worshiping the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many people here that have a heart of generosity and of giving. And it's not just only for the blessing box, Lord, but it's a lot of different times throughout the year in different ways and work with missions and all those kinds of things here at the church, things that are needed here at the church and around the church. It's just amazing to me, and I just thank you because you deserve all the credit, Lord, from all that takes place, because you set it in the person's heart as far as what they can do to be a blessing to other people and even to the church. Lord, we pray for Jason Gray today, who is having an outdoor concert at First Lutheran this morning. Thank you that it's good weather. Thank you that those that will be there will hear great music, as well as I imagine he will speak and talk in between songs throughout this morning as well. Be with all those that will be under his ministry that he does, and he does it so well. And he's got a great voice that you've given to him, and you've opened the door for him to do the things that he loves to do, which is talking about Jesus Christ. And so may you be with the people that are there who listen. May they know that they are blessed because of you. And we thank you, Lord, too, for just the way that you work in the hearts and lives of everyone here this morning. And there may be someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you, someone that could use a real touch in his or her life where they know that it's you doing it, and, or maybe you've used other people to come and be of a help and a support or a listening ear or to pray for him or her today. May we just give you thanks for who you are and how you work in each and every person's heart and life. And Lord, we're here not just because it's Sunday, well, maybe we are, but we love you. And we worship you because you are worthy of our worship. And even though it's piddly probably to you, yet you love people whose hearts are desiring to follow you and to love you in return. And we thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, dying in our place and rising again on the third day to be a victor over sin, death, and Satan. May we serve you faithfully in the days ahead as well as today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a video of C.C. Winan called The Goodness of God at this time. And then we'll continue on after that.
One of the privileges of
okay. We got a good commercial here. That was a great song. It's oh, there it is. Okay.
Building your online business? Go to Wix.com.
It's okay, Sharon. Just cut it off. And that's kind of what happens when you get into computers. We'll blame it on the computers, okay, with that. Responsive reading today, after that beautiful song called The Goodness of God, it's a actually words of a song that pertains to missions and ministry. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Freely received, freely give. We'll have a song with the dueling pianos. Well, two people on the piano, and this is not America's Got Talent.
And it's not Lynn Kelling, so don't expect Lynn Kelling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen Dockin, and my wife, Sharon, as you did a duet together. It wasn't a dueling pianos. It's a duet. Just want you to know that. Invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament. Probably your shiny pages in your Bible, if you have a Bible. And turn to the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, and we'll hear verses 1 through 8 as our text here today. Now Ahab, have you heard of Ahab before? And his wife's name was she a kind, big-hearted woman? You're right. Now Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them," referring to the prophets. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might, what? He might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that we have before us. Even though they're in the Old Testament, there is a message here for us as well today. And if it's not for us personally, it could be for someone we personally know that needs to hear what is shared here this morning. So Lord, bless our hearts and ears. May you open them, and may we receive that you have for us here this morning through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I just want to do a hearing check. Can everybody hear what I say? Okay, just want to make sure. Because I know what it's like if you go someplace and you can't hear what is being said, you then ask yourself, what? Why am I here? I can't hear anything. So anyway, glad you can hear. I'll try to be mindful of that because I need to project, because I know that there are some of you that want to hear and sometimes can't always hear what is being said. But I want us to think about something here this morning, personally, right where you sit. What kind of difficult times have you encountered in life? What kind of difficult things have you encountered in your life along the way in the journey of life, the journey of faith? You may be here today going through a hard time even right now. There might be someone sitting next to you that doesn't even have a clue, doesn't even have an idea that you are dealing with whatever you're dealing with.
And they won't know if you are not honest. Because what do you normally do in church when you see one another? You smile. And people go like, hey, good to see you. How you doing? Oh, great. Liar, liar. And sometimes you just say that because you know the person's really not interested in hearing your problems or issues or things you're going through. But if you know if a person really is interested, because you might have to say it twice, now how are you really doing? And then you might get a little bit more information. But just because somebody says everything is going okay, fine, great, whatever, don't believe that. Ask them again. Then they know you really mean something by saying it. This year we have been hit with some high water, haven't we? Some flood damage, water in basements. It's been tough. And there's still many people dealing with this. And they know that winter is coming, and they've got to make decisions here that are going to be hard decisions to make. If they can even be in their house, or where are they going to stay? Can they continue to stay with the people that they're living with or not? Or do they have to go somewhere else? May they have to move? I don't know. But we know that the lakes are beyond full. Of course, they've come down a lot since that time. But when the boating restrictions came onto the lakes, there was a lot of people hauling their boats home, getting them off the lake. And they kind of said, well, chalk up summer. We're not going to be back. So it affects the rest of the economy around this area. Our hearts and minds are thought thinking of the people in Spencer. I think they really got the brunt of it when the water came over the levees, over the dikes down there, and covered a lot of south part of Spencer. I have not been down there to actually see it. All I've heard of people who have been down there, and they've talked about the big mountains of appliances that are on the fairgrounds that are just stacked like a mountain. They're huge. So be mindful of these folks. It's easy to get depressed, isn't it? When things don't go your way, when things happen. It can be just an air conditioner. How that can bother you for a long time. It can be just getting your house back to where it once was, wondering if it will get back to that. I want you to say this. You know, depression strikes people that you don't think they would ever get depressed. I'll say that again. Depression strikes people that you don't, or you wouldn't ever think that they would get depressed. But it does. It happens. Now, sometimes you've probably heard of, well, if you're a Christian, you should never be depressed. And I just say, baloney. It happens. It can even happen to believers. I have seen it. I've experienced it with other people in the ministry that I've had in different places. And when I would find out about it, I just go in like, huh, I just never thought there's any troubles there. But it comes out. When we look at Elijah in our text here today, it's as if he's had a very successful day on Mount Carmel. Now, that's not a Dairy Queen new thing, a blizzard like that. Mount Carmel is an actual mountain in Israel. And it was on top of that mountain is where there was a big, I dare you kind of a time. With Ahab and Jezebel's prophets, there was 850 of them against Elijah. 850 against one. What are the chances of the one winning? Not good. Did it bother Elijah? Well, not that we know of in the scriptures. But the big challenge was this. Make an altar. The God who answers the prayers of the prophets or of the ones that are there, 850 of them against Elijah, whichever God answers that prayer, that will be the true God that will be worshipped. And you can read about that prior to our text here today. I just want you to know that Elijah did something incredible. There's no way that whatever took place could have happened naturally. God intervened in a humongous way and is willing to do that in your life and your heart here today too. Do something you've never ever seen before or maybe even felt before in your life. Elijah did, he not only won the I dare you contest to see which is the true God, and when the true God did show up, the 850 other false prophets, Elijah killed them, had them killed with the sword. He also knew that there had been a drought for 3 years. He prayed for rain to come, and it rained. He ran superhuman strength. He ran 14 miles back to where Ahab, King Ahab was, and Queen Jezebel. He beat the king's chariot back to Jezreel to find out how they're going to react to what had just taken place on Mount Carmel. The sad thing is that Ahab and Jezebel never repented of their sin. They continued on worshiping their gods of Baal, but they never changed. They never turned back to the true God, the God it called Yahweh. The God of Israel. Kind of shows you the condition of their heart. Elijah hears Jezebel's plan. Ahab always backed her up. She just basically said, Elijah is going to be dead within 24 hours. The same thing's going to happen to him as what happened to all of our prophets. And when Elijah heard that, it looks to me he gives way to fear. Someone who had just overcame a great challenge on Mount Carmel, now we find him full of fear. It's not unusual. You can still be a very strong, powerful kind of a person, deal with what you need to deal with, but still when you come in front of different things, there's fear that's there. It's a normal human response. Only God can give us the strength to overcome fear, because that shows really character in the person's life and in the person's heart. So Elijah runs for his life, and he runs way south. And he has a messenger with him, and he's afraid of Jezebel's threat. He runs to Beersheba. Beersheba is about 95 miles south, close to 100. But that's where he goes, down by the Dead Sea area. And he goes into the desert by himself. Once he gets down there, he tells his messenger, you stay here. And he goes a day's walk into the desert, finds a broom tree, place for some shade. But by this time, Elijah is just saying, I've had it. I've had enough. I just want to check out of life here. I'm done. And he goes to sleep. So we find that Elijah gives way to despair, which is kind of the beginning of, well, it could probably be called depression too. Over all that he's gone, what he's been through and what has happened, now he's depressed. Prays to die. And so in Elijah's eyes, he sees himself as what? A failure. Ever happened to you? Ever see yourself as a failure? His expectations were not fulfilled, what he really wanted to do. You know, he's hoping that Ahab and Jezreel would turn back to God, repent of their sin, and they didn't. So his expectations were just dashed. And he lays down and he goes to sleep, another sign of being depressed. He likes sleep. You don't want to deal with anything. It's good just to go to sleep and not have to worry about anything. And hopefully when you wake up, it'll all be gone, which never happens. Elijah then is given a miracle of strength because God intervened. And this is really the good news here of the text. An angel has been dispatched to go to Elijah and to help him out. He's sleeping. The angel comes to him and touches him. He kind of, you can't see how you just lightly touch him, but you have to touch him hard enough that he knows that someone is there, and tells him to get up and eat. Maybe that's why doctors always kind of say, well, how's your appetite? Have you got a good appetite? If you don't have a good appetite, chances are there's something wrong with you. But Elijah saw that there was something that he didn't prepare was there for him. It was bread and some water. But then he goes back down and he goes to sleep. The angel comes the second time and tells him to get up, eat and drink. And the angel says to him, the journey is too much for you. God knows when what you're going through something, it's too much for you. It is here that Elijah eats again and he drinks the water. And something happens inside of him. His strength returns. And he travels 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, normally it would only take you 2-3 days to get there. So this must have been a slow walk for him to walk 40 days. 40 nights to get there. But he does make it and is renewed from the inside out. And that's what Jesus Christ does in your life and in mine. Renews us beginning in the inside and comes out. And God comes to us in our greatest time of need or weakness. God restores and strengthens us. God prepares us for usefulness and more victories that will come as he becomes a part of our lives as well. Elijah was given by God grace that he himself could not have done himself. It comes from the Lord. He was fearful. He had despair. He thought he was a failure. And yet he's renewed his strength. His strength is restored by God. And maybe you're here today and you go like, yep, I can check off every one of those. Things aren't going right for me. I just feel like throwing in the towel as well in my life. But God knows. And he's able to touch your life and to work in a way, intervene in your behalf, and give you what you thought was never, ever possible. One step at a time. He had to take one step at a time to get to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. It would be one day at a time believing and trusting that God will provide the strength that he needed and also that you need every day. He knew of one God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't those good words? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God saying that. There's some scripture in the New Testament that you've probably heard, you've probably read. One is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety or cast all your cares upon him. The him is Jesus. And Jesus cares about you. He cares enough to hear and to help you wherever you may be at with him today. We find Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says, these are great words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Yeah. But he says, come to me, and I will give you these things. Because he cares for you. And we find Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, where Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, God's grace is sufficient, not only to him, but he's saying, God's grace is sufficient for you. It's enough, his grace is. And he says, my power, referring to Jesus' power, is made perfect in weakness. You do not have to be a perfect person because none of us are. But whatever happens in our lives, God is at work to shape us and to mold us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. So get out of his way and let him do what he wants to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Elijah, a prophet of God, a man of God, someone that you intervened in his life and made him to be what was, what other people would probably say, like, this is a hopeless case. There's no way that this can be done. It's 850 against one. And then you had him kill two bulls and put them on the altar, and then you had people pour water on the bulls and made a trench around that altar where it filled up with water. It was a lot of water, and yet you're to pray for fire to come down from heaven that will reveal that you are the God that everyone needs to know about. For some, it was death. It was their last day on earth. Were they ready? Did they become believers through that miracle? We don't know. But Lord, we know we need a miracle in our lives. Where we need to know who Jesus Christ is and that we have him in our hearts and in our lives. And we're following him. You intervene in showing us our condition in a spiritual way that we know we're lost. We know that we're going to hell because of our sin. But God, you provided a way for us where we are saved from eternal punishment, eternal place called hell. Because you sent us your one and only Son who took our place on the cross and shed his perfect blood to save sinners like us. Lord, we do not know what today will bring or what tomorrow or this week will bring, but we know we can be ready, whatever it may be. We see pictures of an airplane twirling down to the ground in South America. 62 or 63 people on board were all killed. When they got onto that plane, they had no idea they would not make it to their destination. It's a lot like us today. We can plan things. We can say we're going here, we're going there. But we never know when it's our last day. But we can know today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, the one who's forgiven me and has promised me eternal life to be with him forever. So thank you, Lord, for reminding us about this today through Elijah. Thank you for what you've done in his life, as he knows that he would have to pass the baton to another prophet named Elisha, who will even do greater things than what Elijah did. And so, Lord, may we know that we have taken the baton that Jesus Christ gives to us, that forgives us and gives us the victory of being with him forever. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. You know you're going to get out early today. I'm just going to make you sit here for another 10 minutes. I won't, Lynn Ann, I won't do that. I just want you to know that you just said the Apostles' Creed versus the Nicene Creed last Sunday. See the difference? But yet the same. in a lot of ways. There's a lot more there in the Nicene Creed that explains things that we don't get in the Apostles' Creed. I want to give you the benediction. It comes to us in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the very end of the chapter. You can stand, because you're going to get up anyway. Receive God's words here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. I didn't realize there's another song. You can sit back down.
No, you can't sit down. You need to stand to sing this.
Okay. Listen to Karen.
Pretend you're in Bible camp again. I know many of you did go to Bible camp. This is kind of a camp song. And just think about the times, the good times, the wonderful times you had learning scripture and being close to the Lord in Bible camp. Do, Lord.
Thanks be to God.